Welcome everyone to another episode of Free Basketball. This is right after game seven that we just saw tonight, the finality of that dreadful Eastern Conference Finals between the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Boston pulled it out in the end, 100-96. So I thought we'd jump on here with Danny real quick to talk about this game and this series as it's now over, thankfully. And we can finally move on to the finals, which start on Thursday. Daniel, first question. Are you upset? Because this is going to be talked about. Are you upset that Jimmy Butler took that in transition three on that furious comeback at the end?
Yes, but it also takes big balls to shoot that. Like, I think he decided that I'm going to either be the hero or the zero, because let's say he does take Al Horford and he gets to the rim and he makes that. They still have 20 some odd seconds to go. If for some reason they come down and actually make a shot, win the game, man, that sucks. But I guess he's not that big of a zero. So yeah, I talked myself into it. He should have went to the rim.
Yeah. I actually loved it. Because the Celtics, what were they up, 11? Something like that with four minutes to go and just sleptwalked like they were playing not to lose. We see teams do this all the time. The Celtics have been prone to doing this playoffs, is they get a double-digit lead and then 4 minutes, they just shut it down. And they're just like trying to milk clock. And it's 24 seconds. Like, you're not going to have 10 possessions in a row to run off 2 minutes and 40 seconds. You know, it's just, right. It makes no sense. It's baffling strategy. And the Heat got back in it with some incredible plays, but the Celtics just stopped playing, which actually gave us an interesting end to what I think was otherwise a very not memorable series. Would you agree that this was I know it went seven games, but do you think in a couple years we're going to be talking about this Eastern Conference Finals matchup?
No, not at all. I think this is going to be a series that people look back at and say, you know, it was really good, but it's not memorable in any way. There were no big shots. It was terrible until pretty much this game and I guess last game as well.
Yeah, and it was going to be terrible until the Celtics decided to fall asleep. In reality, the Celtics probably should win that game. If they play it 9 out of 10 times with that same last 4 minute scenario, I mean, they probably win by 8 or 9 plus, I would assume. But it's kind of the theme for this conference finals and really for the past two rounds. The basketball just has not been super interesting to me. I don't know if you feel the same, but do you think we had to kind of sacrifice the second and the third round to get a dynamite finals matchup? Do you think this is a dynamite matchup?
Dynamite. No, I think it's really good. I don't know about dynamite just because I think that you're going to see, not to give too much away, I really think that you're going to see somebody get exposed in this finals. I really do. Oh. And nobody's talking about it. Everybody is on the opposite side of me, and I can't wait to be right.
Ah, well, I'll have to remember to ask that question or bring it up later, because I'm very interested to hear who you think is going to get exposed. But to kind of end on the Heat with their season, what goes for this team? Like, what do you think about this team moving forward? They were, you know, said throughout the broadcast, they're below 500 or whatever heading into January. They crank out the number one seed, make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but then blow, you know, three home games basically in this series to the Boston Celtics. Like, what is the path forward? Kyle Lowry looked terrible. Bam Adebayo was sometimes invisible man. Like, Jimmy Butler is what, 34, 35, and he did incredible things, but they needed 40 to 47 points from him to even be competitive in this. So is this something for the Heat that you think is repeatable next year, or do you think there's something that they need to do?
Wow. That's a lot to unpack. So Jimmy Butler will be turning 33 in mid-September.
Okay.
Yeah. So he'll be, you know, let's say in the twilight of his career on the back end of his prime, right? So he's got at least in a good 3 years in front of him. And before he starts to really fall off, I would think around 36-ish or whatever. So I think that this team is all about Jimmy. And I think that it's pretty much, hey, we have a good group that can play together throughout the regular season. But when it comes time down to the crunch in the playoffs, he steps up, and that's why they're good. But there's a lot of people on this team, on the Heat, and I don't know what their contracts looks like. I'll try to Google it as I'm speaking, as well as going back to you. But I don't know what their contracts look like. And so going forward, my thinking is, PJ Tucker, where was he? I don't remember seeing him much of the game. He just seemed like he was gone. Tyler Hero was hurt. So you have that. You're paying Duncan Robinson, God knows how much money. Let's see. Duncan Robinson is getting paid $16 million next year. Okay.
To not play.
Like, that's an issue. They found something in Gabe Vincent. They found something in Max Strus, which is awesome. I still do like Omer Yurtseven. He's very good. I think he can be a good backup big that can do, you know, more than just be somebody who's a filler. They have a lot of good stuff. But when you're paying Kyle Lowry $28 million next year, that is not good. And I don't care. People can say what they want about Kyle Lowry. He was hurt. Whatever. He has not had it. He just hasn't. And I don't expect him to have it moving forward. And then Bam, he's young. He's a good player. But you get either good Bam or bad Bam. There's no in between. And so with that being said, he's a guy that I would never ever bet on, because he can go off for 30 and 12, whatever, or he can go off for 8 and 4. Like, that's the kind of player he is, and he's not dependable. So this team really is Jimmy Butler. That's all they have. And if you can figure out a way to slow down Jimmy Butler and put a little size on him, then I think you're going to be okay. And the surrounding pieces are all right, but I don't think it's championship level. I thought they were frauds the whole season. But Jimmy Butler turned into playoff Jimmy, and when that happens, that's hard to stop.
Yeah, you mentioned a bunch of names that I think are interesting for the Heat, right? Like Bam, I've always loved Bam ever since he came into the league, but he just has not developed anything offensively that is consistent, right? Great defensive player, super versatile, but kind of the sneaky thing that I like watching when, you know, after these series are up or whatever, everybody daps each other up and gives each other hugs. You know, Bam and Jason Tatum had an embrace, and I could have swore Tatum was bigger than or taller than Bam. And I think Tatum's listed at 6'8", and that's probably generous. So is Bam like a 6'6", 6'7", 5"? For the Heat, it's just weird, but he just has not developed an offensive game. You make a good point about Tyler Hero. If Tyler Hero is in this series for the last 2 or 3 games and actually able to play fully healthy tonight, do you think the Heat would have actually pulled this series out? Because there was a very steep and sharp decline in their offensive ability to score points when he went down with that groin injury.
Yeah, I think he really is the guy that they have to kind of make the offense continue to keep going when Jimmy Butler just needs a break. Like, he played every minute in that game in game 7. So, yes, yeah. I don't know if that is the, you know, the big, hey, yeah, they could have won if they would have had Tyler Hero. I don't know, because the game was the game, right? Everybody played well, but Tyler Hero would have made a big, big mark in this game. And he would have probably pushed Kyle Lowry off the floor a little bit more. And that would have been probably a good thing at times. And really, they had to go to Max Strus as being the number two when Bam, you know, wasn't able to do anything. So, yeah, I don't know. It's tough, but I do like Hero on this team because he is a very good player and he can kind of microwave score. But I don't know if that gives them the win, though.
Yeah, what's weird about it is that, you know, teams and fans can talk themselves into scenarios. Like, we did this with the Grizzlies. Well, if they had Ja against the Warriors healthy, and if they didn't have Dillon out for game three, like, the Grizzlies could have won that series. Like, is this a situation for the Heat now where they say, well, if Hero doesn't go down with those injuries, maybe we actually win in six. So maybe they don't really do anything, which is not really Pat Riley's MO, right? Like, Pat Riley can smell. He has this sixth sense when something doesn't smell right with his team, and he will make that move if he needs to. And it probably didn't help that Joel Embiid the other day on Twitter stoked the fire a little bit, saying that Jimmy needed another star beside him. So I don't know what the Heat are going to do in the offseason, but I would expect Pat Riley to not just, stick with this same unit. I would expect them to do something. I'm just not sure what options are available to them. But to end the Heat conversation, I do want to talk about Kyle Lowry just for a second, because I know Kyle Lowry has been a good basketball player. I said in a previous episode, an episode or two ago, I don't know, it was with you, but Kyle Lowry, he had that one finals run. He kind of rode the coattails of Kawhi to the finals and then played well. And he got his championship ring. But every other time he's been in the playoffs, he's not shown up. He's just not the same player. And now he's advanced in age. And with this series, the flopping on both sides was such an extreme that it almost made the game unpalatable to watch. It was not fun to watch at all. I know everyone's going to talk about the officiating tonight, how one-sided it seemed, but I don't know how you can ref anymore. Like, how do you ref these stars where all they're doing is trying to flop and gain little hand check advantages? It just seems impossible to actually call a basketball game. Like, to me now, reffing has kind of turned into a guessing game. Like, you're just kind of guessing if the guy is actually taking a shot for real, or he actually got fouled, or he's trying to act and fool you. And then you just rely on, you know, the challenge or the replay to overrule you if you're not right. But it has kind of like shown a floodlight on the referees. And I think, you know, I'm back and forth on referees. I don't know how you can ref this series and this game with all the people involved, Marcus Smart in here, you know, everybody wanting a flop. So I say all that to say, I will not miss Kyle Lowry when he's gone. When he's not playing in the NBA, I won't miss him. I won't think, man, I wish, you know who I wish was playing in this series? Kyle Lowry. Do you have those same kind of sentiments for Kyle, or do you love the antics?
So I'll just leave this here. As you know, I am very much a Grizzlies homer, right? I'm a guy who bleeds grizzly blue. I love the Grizzlies. But even if I was not a Grizzlies fan, I would still stand behind this 100%. Kyle Lowry, he got a lot of his money and a lot of his all-stars by going to the East. He was an average, very average, like NBA point guard. He found himself in good position, and he's a good NBA point guard, but he isn't great. I would rather have Mike Conley over him any day of the week. Even
in
now,
their primes, in their even now,
I would take Mike Conley. Now, you switch those two, and you send Kyle Lowry to the Grizzlies, back to the Grizzlies where they were, and then you end up sending out Mike Conley. Mike Conley is that person right now, and he's probably won a ring. Maybe two. He's a more dependable guy. He can hit big shots, and he can still play defense. Maybe not as good as Kyle Lowry could defensively, you know, where he was in his career. But Mike Conley is going to end up being a better player overall and has more accolades than Kyle Lowry does. So think what you want about Mike Conley. If you're not a Grizzlies fan and you're not as homerish as I am, think about how you think of Mike Conley. Well, put Kyle Lowry below that.
Sorry to all the Kyle Lowry fans out there. We just completely buried your guy, but you will not be missed. I'm sorry. Whenever you retire, But let's move on to this finals now. Game one is Thursday. Golden State has home court, right? I forgot to check that.
Yeah. They're going to the Chase Center.
Okay. So Golden State, or game one in the Chase Center against Golden State. I have said in the past that they have gotten all sorts of injury luck in this run. And it seems like the basketball gods are kind of repaying them for what they had to go through a couple years ago with KD and Klay going down, which ironically gave Kyle Lowry his one NBA ring. So it feels like the basketball gods are repaying them for that championship that they should have won in 2019 for now. But now that I've watched a little bit the Celtics, I know they were banged up early, and Marcus Smart is always a wild card for someone who will pull a hammy or twist an ankle or something. And Jason Tatum had the shoulder injury, but now they'll have a couple days rest. I actually think the matchup is about as good as you could get for, you know, choosing title matchups. Like, you could pick pieces or you could pick individual teams like, oh, that'd be fun to, for them to play in the finals. That would be interesting. But this one is actually a really intriguing matchup for the small ball and how, who's going to guard who and what's the rotations. What is the most interesting aspect about this matchup for you? I know this is right after the series. We haven't been able to research or do anything. This is off the top of our head, just talking about Celtics playing the Warriors. But what is, to you, the more intriguing thing about this matchup?
Yeah, the biggest thing is seeing Marcus Smart on Steph Curry. Like, that's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, the way that the team, that I guess that the Golden State Warriors like to play, is they try to figure out, you know, moving the ball around, right? Finding a good, you know, breakdown of a player. Can they get, you know, to the front of the rim and then kick out to wide open three? This Celtics team is very, very good defensively. Very good. Like, to the point where, who do you actually try to go up against? Can they hold their players one-on-one? And I think so. I think that the Grizzlies kind of got exposed in some areas because of that. The Mavericks definitely got exposed in some areas of that. I think this has to be somewhere that Steve Kerr tries to step up, because he's got to figure out a way to, I guess, just guard, or not guard, but game plan against a team that is this good defensively. They don't really have too much of a weakness. Plus, they match up really well against the Warriors, the Celtics team does. But another thing that I'm watching, if you look at the schedule, the way the NBA Finals plays out, their first game is Thursday. So they have, you know, 3 days to kind of rest up before their next game. So that's good. But yeah, then they go 2 days off, and then game two, 2 days off, game three. So you're talking about June the 8th. June the 8th is the third game, right? And you feel like you're getting good rest. Two days, you had three, two, two, and then you go back to back, right? So then you have a Wednesday to Friday. That's normal. But then you go back three more days, 2 days, and then it's just one of those things that I think now we're looking at it, these teams are going to be well rested. As long as they don't have something else that happens in these actual series, these teams are going to be semi well rested, because they're having more than a day off in between. Plus, the travel is a long distance, but they have, you know, 2 days off in between travel most of the time. So I don't see this being an issue. I think you're going to see a lot of these guys play a lot of minutes, 40 plus minutes probably in this series.
Yeah. It's a good point, because it's going to hopefully give us much higher quality basketball, because everyone's issue was they're playing every other day in this conference finals. So there was not really, you know, a rest, extra rest day to where you got a full effort, you know, game three or game four, right? It was always a blowout. But now it kind of seems like we're set up to have really intense, high level play every single game. And that's how the finals are supposed to be. So like we said earlier, maybe we did have to sacrifice the conference finals in the second round to get here to have this fantastic matchup, because I think you make a great point. Like, the Warriors have been getting get into the paint, kick out to the guys, knock down the threes. But the Celtics are really good defensively, like you said, and they could stick with most of the Warriors players. Not saying that Marcus Smart's going to be able to stick with Steph. No one really sticks with Steph in that motion offense. But they can at least hold up against the other guys, right? Like, Klay is not breaking down Jason Tatum. Andrew Wiggins probably not going to break down Jaylen Brown. And this just feels like the Warriors-Grizzlies series, except the Celtics are just a higher level, right? Like, sub Steven Adams and put in Al Horford. Much more versatile big that can shoot from three, good defensively, more, I guess, versatile anyways. And so they have kind of the same style players, just a little bit higher level to me. So my initial thinking of, the Celtics are going to kind of limp in and be injured. Warriors are going to take it. And the youth of the Celtics, this is going to be their first time actually breaking through and making the finals. All of these advantages kind of add up to the Warriors kind of rolling in this series. But the more I think about it, I think the Celtics have a real shot here to actually win the NBA title. And I did not think that a week or two ago. I thought for sure it was going to be the Warriors, no doubt. Do you think that the Warriors have a large advantage by being there? This is what, their sixth time in 8 years or whatever, and this is going to be the Celtics' first time. Do you think that is a large advantage for the Warriors, or something that we are overblowing a little bit?
You know, I think it's definitely an advantage, but, you know, usually that's early on and then late in the series. Middle of the series, I feel like it kind of figures itself out. It's usually in the very beginning and the very end, which are very crucial times. But with that being said, is if they can kind of catch their breath early on and get behind a veteran like Al Horford, who has finally going to the finals for the first time in his career, how awesome is that? But also, a lot of these guys, they're not just early in their career. If you look at these players that are on the Celtics, they're not like young rookies, right? So I think that they're going to be okay. I don't have too much that I would put out there to say, hey, yeah, they're just going to be overwhelmed by the opportunity here that presents itself in the finals, not being vets. So yeah, I think it is some, but I also think that this Celtics team has enough vets or guys that are long in the tooth enough in their NBA career that they'll handle the spotlight just fine.
Yeah, it's, I think the thing that cautions me is, like, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and I said, you know, before playoffs, it was pisser get off the pot, you know, like, this is kind of a prove it point, and now they're here in actual finals. But they have had moments in the playoffs where they've had big leads and they've just surrendered them because they stopped playing. We just saw it in game seven. So what the veteran, you know, Warriors that have been there, done that, there feels like a real chance in this series where it swings momentum wise, where it's like game three or something like that, or game five even, and the Celtics are up 12 halfway through the fourth, and then the Warriors just, you know, they take their foot off the gas and the Warriors make this huge comeback and steal game five or whatever. And just swing the series. Do you think that, like, it feels like that is going to be in play in this series? So I know they're not young, but they're not like they have, like, they haven't been beat up in the finals, right? They haven't faced that kind of adversity in the finals. Now, they have been, you know, given up game six against the Heat at home, had to go win it in Miami. Did the same thing with the Bucks. You know, they had to go win that game six to force it to a game seven at their place. So maybe I'm overthinking that a little bit, but it is just something that's in the back of my mind that I just cannot get rid of, that there's going to be a big moment in game four or five where the Celtics are up big and just shut it down and the Warriors come back. And that's basically how we're going to look at this finals when we look back at it.
Yeah, I think you can I think you can say yes, that could happen. But in my honest opinion, I think you're going to see the Warriors get up at some point during a game and the Celtics come back and win. I think vice versa. I think Celtics are big in one game and they come back and win. I also think there's going to be two blowouts. Each team's going to have a blowout. Like you're talking about four games there where one of the, you know, you had a lead, the other team came back. Okay. And then the same thing with the blowout. So that's how this entire playoffs is pretty much went. So with that being said, like, I think that there's been too much given to the Golden State Warriors. I just think there has. They beat a team that wasn't very good, but they had a really good player and the MVP, the Joker. Sorry, had a brain lapse for a second. They took him out in the first round. I have Nikola Jovic on my brain so much from the draft. I couldn't think of the Joker's name. But they took him out, which pretty much it was just him and nothing else. And regular season, that's okay. And it showed. But when it came down to actually being the playoffs, like, you can game plan against that. So then they went and took on the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies end up having issues where their starting unit never played 1 minute together in that entire series. And they won it in six games. And then they go out and play a Dallas Mavericks team who just didn't have it. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And it just showed that if they actually were making shots, they would have easily beat the Warriors, but they just could not hit a shot. So when I look back on that, I simply think the Golden State Warriors are getting way too much credit. And I went ahead and marked down the guys that are going to be across from each other. And I want to give just, you know, a quick thing to you. This is kind of out of the blue, but I want you to give which player has the advantage in this series. So, and I know there's no way of doing it, but you're talking about they're going offense and defense against each other. So you tell me, who do you like better in the matchup? So do you understand the game real quick?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. All right, so Steph Curry and Marcus Smart, who do you give the advantage to?
Steph.
All right. Jason Tatum, Klay Thompson.
Tatum.
Horford, Draymond.
Can I call that one even?
Yeah. I'll make you pick. If you go even the rest of the way and somehow it's a tie, you have to break that tie. Okay. All right. So Brown against Wiggins.
I'll go Brown. I'll go Jaylen.
All right. Then you have the Time Lord Robert Williams against Kevon Looney.
I can't look. Looney has been amazing, but he's finally going up against an equivalent big.
Right.
I will actually call that one even.
Cop out. And I don't expect these two to play except for early in the game, right? So with Williams and Looney, I bet they play early in the game. But I think they just kind of, if you don't put him in, I won't put mine in. And the coaches just don't go back to him towards the end of games. All right, so you have Jordan Poole and Derek White, because these are the probably your sixth man off the bench.
I'm going to say Jordan Poole.
Okay. Otto Porter Jr. and Grant Williams.
I don't want to pick either. wow. Yeah, I don't want to pick either. I don't like either player, but I'm going to say Grant because he's at least healthy.
Right, that's what I was going to go with. And you don't have to do this one, but I thought I'd add it in. Peyton Pritchard and Jonathan Kuminga, they completely are different. They're not going to be guarding each other, but they're kind of like the young player that's up and coming. Do you want to pick that one or leave that even?
I'll leave that one even just okay. Because they're so diametrically opposite. Now, Right. The thing I do want to add to this is there has been reports that Andre Iguodala is going to be back walking minus 12, as you have.
Great.
Affectionately referred to him as. And also there's rumor that Gary Payton is coming back.
Great.
Is that a big deal to you that he's coming back for this series? Do you think that could help swing this series?
The only thing that's going to help swing is getting Kevon Looney off the court. Like, that's all that swings. That's all you're doing with that matchup is you're getting Kevon Looney off the court, because you're going with Curry, Clay, Draymond, and Wiggins. It's just, do you go with Poole? Like, do you want offense or do you need somebody with a little bit of size and Otto Porter Jr.? Do you want somebody defensively like GP2? Like, what do you need? And so, no, I don't think they matter that much. I think during the middle of the games, I think, GP can be a very good asset defensively. But the reason I did this is literally like the edge goes to the Celtics in these one-on-one matchups. Because you had Tatum and Brown, which are, you know, probably two of the better players in the game, and you took them over the Wiggins and Clay. Like, I just think when you look down at it, I know Curry is amazing. Curry's going to shoot over anybody, but I think Marcus Smart's going to make his life a living hell. I do believe that. And yeah. I also think that Brown is very good defensively, and Derek White is very underrated defensively, especially against small guys. And then Clay, we've watched Clay. He can absolutely get hot when he doesn't dribble, but when he has to dribble, he's not been the same guy. Draymond, I would rather have Al Horford over Draymond. I really would, because Al Horford, yes, he might be a little bit older. Al Horford's a little bit longer, and I think he smells rebounds, especially in a matchup like this, and he can stretch more than Draymond can. So just looking at this, I feel really good about the Celtics. I really do, because they can go and score on any one of these players. Andrew Wiggins will be the best defender on the Golden State Warriors team. And I think that every guy on this court can score on Andrew Wiggins. I can't say the same for the other players on the other side against the Celtics. So that's why I look at it like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it, because if you were to rank the players in this series, Golden State has the best player in the series, but 100%. Boston has 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So does that cumulative 2 and 3, overpower the one that the Warriors have? So it is a very interesting point. I like it. I mean, Andrew Wiggins is the absolute wild card in this series to me, because you want to talk about someone who's never been here and done it before.
Yeah.
This is prototype A, example A for players like that. And he's, not saying that he's had it easy, because he has taken on upon himself the defensive, like he's the defensive spearhead for them. He's guarded the other team's best players for the past two rounds. And that's been his thing. But the Boston Celtics are just a different offensive animal than the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas Mavericks is Luka, create me something and kick me out to a shooter. This offense is more dynamic. It's actually going to attack and finish at the rim by multiple guys, not just one guy. So it is hard to game plan. Andrew Wiggins is such an interesting thing to me. I mean, if you had an X factor for each team, for the Warriors, for me, it's 100% Andrew Wiggins. Who would be your X factor that could swing the series for the Warriors?
Yeah, I think the same thing is Andrew Wiggins, because he has been out rebounding a lot of people, and he's been doing that in a lot of series. He's also been scoring like crazy. Now they have some bigger players on the other side and a little bit more length. How does he do? So I really do like that with Andrew Wiggins. If I had to say a two, I really think it's Klay Thompson. Because the simple fact that Klay has shown when he can be amazing, but there's a lot of games where he just kind of goes away and goes quiet. So I don't know if he goes quiet. I think you can go one-on-one with any of these defenders on him. And then I think you can figure out a way to somehow try to double team Steph when he's coming off of those screens. So I really think if you don't go Andrew Wiggins, because I think he helps in so many different areas, I think it's Clay.
If for the Celtics, who would be your X factor that swings the series for them?
Yeah, I think it's Jaylen Brown, because Jason Tatum's going to get his. He's going to do what he's going to do. He has a mismatch on anybody that's guarding him. And honestly, I don't know if Clay wants to guard him. I think he's going to be eaten alive. So I think you're going to end up seeing Andrew Wiggins go over there. So at that point, then you have, Jaylen Brown. What can he do? Can he hit those open shots that he's going to get? He's going to get open threes just because the way their defense is going to get broken down. So if he hits those, it could be curtains.
Yeah, I agree. That was my X factor for the Celtics. It's Jaylen Brown. Because the matchup for the Warriors, I mean, who starts out on who defensively for you? Like, we can get to what the adjustments might look as we get into the series, but maybe we'll talk about the adjustments next week after we go through game one and game two. But I assume you put Wiggins to start on Tatum, right?
See, I thought that, but Clay, I just feel like maybe Clay, because he's been known to be really good defensively, he might want Tatum early.
Interesting. Yeah, see, I would think it would be Wiggins on Tatum and then Clay on Jaylen Brown, and okay, that leaves Steph guarding Marcus Smart.
Right.
Obviously, the obvious adjustments that are going to come out of this is I think both teams are going to eventually go small. It's just going to be interesting which small lineups they go with, because I'm not sure, like, this doesn't feel like a traditional series to me where Kevon Looney is, you know, going to be able to stay on the court with Draymond, you know?
Right.
And are Al Horford and Robert Williams going to be able to stay on the court together? Are they going to have to choose one or the other in different lineups? I'm just not sure. I'm not 100% sold on that. So I think the obvious adjustment is like small ball. I'm just not sure how it's going to look, you know, if one team's going to get run out by the other and they make that adjustment. But it seems like a very obvious, subtle, simple adjustment that both teams are going to do in this series.
Yeah, I think that Golden State, let's say they do want to go with Kevon Looney and maybe, you know, Robert Williams, Time Lord, he, you know, they don't want to play him. The Celtics can go to Grant Williams in that, because then Horford can play on Kevon Looney, and then you have Grant Williams against Draymond. They can't do it the other way around, because I don't know, unless you have Otto Porter or you want to go Kuminga, you could, but I think that they have less to play with. They have, you know, on the Golden State side, but because of the matchups, I like the Celtics in that factor. So I think the Celtics can go small if they want. They want to go big. I think they trust Robert Williams in that. So I think that really it's going to depend on how do the Golden State Warriors want to go. Because how are they going to go? I think the Celtics can go either way, honestly. I think they trust either Grant Williams or Robert Williams, the Williams boys. I think they can trust them any way they want.
Okay, so let's get into this and let's start to wrap this up here.
Yep.
Game one, how do you see game one going out?
Wow, I think it's going to be actually a good game. And I'm expecting that there's going to be probably a 3.5 point spread on the game. I haven't seen the number come out yet.
Mm.
And if it is, I would take the +3.5 for the Celtics. And I Ooh. Think the Celtics come out and actually grab game one.
Oh, immediately steal game one. All right. I'm actually on the opposite for game one. If it was set at 3.5, I would actually take the Warriors as the favorite to cover game one. But I do think the Celtics would have a real shot at stealing game two. But the outcome of this series, and to back up a little bit, I don't think we're going to see super explosive offense.
Really?
I think we're going to see kind of scores that we saw in the Heat Celtics, right? Like 98 to 102, 102 to 106. That's the kind of series that I'm expecting. I'm sure there'll be one high variance game where it's 127 to 124 or whatever, but I'm expecting game one to be low scoring, which has been kind of opposite of what most game ones have been in all the playoff series. All game ones have typically been, you know, either blowouts or a really high scoring affair. So I'm kind of interested to see what we get out of the gate. I would certainly expect the Celtics to struggle early in game one. So if you're looking out there, I would probably play Warriors first half. Just putting that out there. I haven't even looked to see if anything's up. We're just recording right after. I'm sure it's up already somewhere, but I haven't looked. So I don't know any of the lines, but I would be very interested in Warriors first half, even Warriors first quarter. I think they're going to come out strong. But your prediction for this series, you have Celtics winning game one. Do you have Celtics winning the NBA title?
I do have the Celtics winning the NBA title.
Woo-hoo!
And just to kind of go back on our numbers, Golden State Warriors are favored by 3.5 game Ding. One.
Called that one perfectly.
All right, let's go to the first quarter.
So what do you first half is probably set at 1.5.
That's right? Correct. That's okay. Correct.
First quarter's probably 0.5.
1.5.
It's the same. 1.5. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
But
yeah.
I like this. What I normally do in these situations is because the team I like is going on the road, and if you're betting, this is, you know, my only advice I'll give you. Right now, the Boston Celtics are +130 to win the series. They're going to go game one. I expect them probably to lose, but I really think they have a fighting chance to win this first game. But more than likely, they're probably going to lose first game, and I get much better odds. Let's say they do win game one. They're going to probably lose game two, because winning two right off the bat in the NBA Finals would be super tough. So at that point, you're still going to probably get back to that +130, and you're talking about you're going into game three at home. I think you're in the same boat if you're betting on the odds. So that's why I'm going to hold off until – I'm going to not bet until game three unless they lose game one. If they lose game one, I'm betting it right away, and I bet it's like +165, +175 to win the whole thing.
So Celtics are +130. Does that mean the Warriors are about 160 to 170 to win this series?
They are I just lost it. I think it's in a different app. I'll go back to it real quick and see if I can find it. I'm sorry, here it is. -160 to win the whole
thing. -160. Okay, gotcha. My prediction for this series, I'm not going to change that my pick that I made last week, even though I think the Celtics are actually a better team. I'm going to side with the been there, done that team. And to me, this is the last run for this Warriors dynasty with that core three together. I think there's an obvious changing of the guard coming. And I think this is their last shot at putting a bow on their run. And so I think the Warriors win the championship. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think it's going to be a long series. I certainly would not expect this to go less than five games unless there is an injury, which all of this could be thrown out the window because of an injury to a main part for the Celtics or the Warriors, but I certainly expect this to at least go six. I think there's real potential for a seven here. And so I'm going to go Warriors in six, and I think the Warriors get one more title to put the bow on this dynasty that they had together as they kind of ride off in the sunset together.
Wow. So you're saying Warriors in six, that's +550. If you think they ended in six.
Ooh, doggy, let me get on my app. No, anything else to plug before we get out of here, Daniel?
Nothing to plug. If you enjoy draft people, I know this is about the NBA in general, but we do a Grizzlies podcast, Grizz 901, as you've heard before. We're doing a bunch of draft podcasts that we're releasing every Monday and Wednesday leading up into the draft. Now, these players we're talking about their game. So that's where I think you'd be intrigued. We also kind of slide in a little bit of how they would fit into the Grizzlies. So if you want to just kind of enjoy some deep dive draft talk, they're probably less than 30-minute podcasts. And so they're quick, but they're coming out on Grizz 901. You can follow the podcast over at Grizz 901 podcast on Twitter. But if you just want to do anything, go search Grizz 901 and you'll find me and Ryan talking. And mainly it's just Ryan breaking down each of these players.
I love draft season. I thought about bringing it up tonight, but I withheld the temptation. We needed to focus just on this finals. We'll have more than plenty enough time over the next coming weeks to talk about the NBA draft. So that will wrap us up here for this week. Hope everyone had a great Memorial Day. If you're listening to this on Memorial Day, you are a true friend of the show. If you're not enjoying some out at the lake or at the beach or doing something with your family, but you're listening to Free Basketball, talk about the NBA Finals, a true fan. And we salute you. We hope everyone has a good day. We will see you guys next Monday.